so I think you can hear me most of the time without the microphone. But we record these and put them on our website. So that's the purpose of it. And as I was saying, you know, the last 2 weeks we've been talking about what matters in healthy relationships. The first week in this series, we talked about true love. What true love is and what it looks like. 2 weeks ago, we talked about understanding each other. And last week, we were going to do what we're doing today, and that is talk about communication. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. And the scripture that we just read together in James, in verse 2 of that reading, it said this: all of us often make mistakes. But if a person never makes a mistake in what he says, he is perfect. How many of us are perfect out here this morning? I must confess, I'm not perfect. Oh, you got one that is perfect, or at least thinks she is. Well, we'll see if that works out this way. You know, I have to confess, I often make mistakes. And when it comes to my words, I often say stupid things. Anybody else say anything stupid from time to time? Yeah, I see some hands there. So you do. I want you to rate your communication. 0 being that you're terrible, you can't communicate very well with people, and 10 being that you're perfect, you always communicate. Where would you say when you communicate with people that are close to you, around you, how well do you communicate with them? Would you say you're on the bottom, don't do well, or you're perfect, or somewhere in between? Just do that in your own mind. Where do you think you are and how well you communicate with others, especially those close to you? Well, as you're doing that, let me mention that poor communication in business can lead to financial ruin. Poor communication in international affairs can lead to war. Poor communications in relationships can lead to those relationships being torn apart. Too often, after a couple has been together for some time, they say this. I hear it in my office or hear it sometimes when I'm doing counseling. We don't communicate anymore. Why is that? You know, there's a study on communication that it reveals that only 7% when you're communicating with someone is verbal. 7% of what you say in communication is what is used in words. 55% of what is communicated with a person is done in body language and facial expressions. In other words, 55% of what another person receives from you is not what you say, but how you say it in your body language and your facial expression. This is where Vonda and I have the most tension, because she's always reading me. And if I'm not like this all the time, she interprets that to mean something else. Now, 55% of our body language and our facial expression is how we communicate. 38% of it is the tone of voice. Did you hear me? The tone of your voice, you could say, I love you. Well, I don't know if you say it that way. I'm not sure of what's being heard. It doesn't, maybe they say, well, I hear the words, but that's not what I interpreted. You getting my message here? 7% of the words is communication, 55% body language, and 38% the tone of how you say it. Which means it's not so much what you say, but how you say it. Before you can communicate with words, a person you speak to needs to know three things, and that's what I want to share with you in this message this morning. The first thing is, they need to know that you respect them as a person. In other words, you respect their ideas and their feelings. Second, that they have a right to express their ideas, even if that's not what you want to hear. In other words, that you want to hear what they have to say, even if you don't agree with it. And the third is that they are worthy of being listened to. In other words, you have an interest to listen to them to what they want to express. So those three things, that's what we're going to go over. You see, listening is an art. It means you have to suspend your thoughts in order to listen to what is being said. Now, you remember last time we were together, I told you that message was for women. For men, how they communicated with women. Well, today I've had to modify this. This is going to be for both men and women. This is for both of you. So you can't shut yourself out and say, I don't need to listen to this morning. Yes, you do. Okay? But to listen, you have to get into the other person's shoes. It means when you listen, you feel what they feel. You don't have to agree what they say, but you have to understand where that person is coming from. The point is, you have to listen to what they're trying to express. There's a saying that it's no accident that God gave us two ears and one mouth. In other words, so we would listen twice as much as we talk. Maybe that's the reason God gave that. I'm not sure, but at least it's a nice thought to have. Maybe we ought to be listening two times more than we're trying to express or speak our word. James explained how important our words are. He said it this way in our scripture reading this morning. He said, my mouth, my words, they direct where I go. The picture James has given us here is that of a rudder of a ship. He says, you see, the ship is huge and the rudder is really small, but it guides this big ship to direct it where it wants to go. And he says, our mouth and our words or our tongue, our conversation is like that rudder of our lives. Our lives, as vast as it is in the world, our lives actually go where our tongue or our mouth or our words guide us. In other words, our tongue guides our life and what we're saying. So here we are. Here's the first point of this message. Before you can communicate with words, a person needs to know that you value their ideas and feelings. You know, often we feel that we know more what another person needs than they themselves know that. So when someone begins to tell us about their problems, we want to make them feel better. And we begin to tell them what to do to feel better. You ever done that? We listen long enough to make an assessment of the situation, and then we proceed to fix the problem. But if you haven't heard the words, now, I'm telling you this so that you will help me, so you'll fix this. Then don't try to fix their problem. Just listen to them and give compassion and give understanding. Because unless a person is telling you to fix it, they're not asking you to fix it. They're pouring out their heart and their struggles and their problems so that you will listen and understand and have compassion. You know, it takes a lot of energy just to listen to a person. Just to be there for another person. How often do you have a person tell us something and we say, well, you shouldn't have done that? Or we tell them, you shouldn't have been doing what you were doing. For example, a woman is in a job and she has a critical boss And she has some things going on. It's hard to understand in that office why those things are happening. And she gets fed up and she quits. And she comes home and she said, I'm done. And her husband says, well, you shouldn't have done that. You should have went out and found another job first before you quit. Now, he didn't see that her reaction was not clear logical thinking. He saw her reaction being emotional. He saw that her response was in a bad situation. What he said hurt her more than what actually was happening that caused her to quit the job in the first place. She wished he would have just held her, said he loved her. Her feelings were not validated. Her feelings were not given consideration to what she had to go through. He didn't try to listen to what was going on with her. He was trying to say what she should have done. You know, if you grow up with your feelings not being validated as a child, it harms your character and well-being as a person. You grow up feeling crazy. You grow up feeling like sometimes you don't know how to act and react and what to say and how to react to what others are saying. You have a child get up to the table and they say, I'm not hungry. And the parent says, well, you're going to eat. You're going to eat no matter what. Stuff your feelings. Don't care what you're feeling. Just eat. Or a child gets hurt. An adult says, little boys don't cry. Stop that. Dry up. Stuff your feelings. And so a child grows up believing their feelings are wrong. If I'm feeling something and I'm told to stuff it and it doesn't matter, then they feel like something's not right with the world. Something's not right with them. But you have to understand this. Feelings are just that. They're just feelings. They're not right or wrong. They're not good or bad. They're just feelings. And when you have feelings and you can't validate that's what I'm feeling, then something gets all messed up in our thinking. Feelings are feelings. They're not yours. It may not be the way you would react to the situation. It may not be the way you feel about it. But feelings are just feelings. And they need to be validated. No matter what the circumstances is that created that. And if you can't listen well enough to hear a person's feelings, you will say some awful stupid things. And you will do some awful stupid things. Because you're not listening to what the feelings are. You're trying to say what you think they ought to do. Because that's how you feel about it. Or that's how you think about it. James talks about how important these words are. He says, my mouth can destroy what I have. Because they're so powerful. Words can be so destructive. The picture that James gives us is a picture of a fire. He says a fire can be a good thing, but all of us know how easily it can get out of control. I knew this from a child. My brother and I, we were out when I was a child in the back field of our house, and we had some matches. So we would strike the matches and throw them down and let the fire start burning, and then the other one had to stomp it out. I remember one time my brother and I was doing that, and I lit a match, and it started burning, and he went over. So I said, no. I said, give it a little time. Uh-oh. Well, that time, it started burning, and he started stomping, and I started stomping, and it just went. And the whole field was on fire, and the neighbors came down, and they were stomping with us, and later that day, my dad had a talk with me, and he had more than a talk. And I didn't do that anymore. Words can burn up a job. Words can burn up a relationship when they begin and they start spreading. That's the power of words and why we need to be careful with them, as James said. Here's the second thing. Before we can communicate with words, a person needs to know that you want to talk with them and you want to hear them. We often want to make a person feel better when they share their stories with us. The problem is, we want to make the pain go away. Like we do with our children when they are growing up. If they're sitting in time out, we can remove the situation and can make them feel better. We often do that prematurely because we want to make them feel better. If they want a toy or a snack, we can give it to them and the distress is removed and they're happy. They're not hungry anymore and they have something to play with, and so we can make them happy. But the problem is, as adults, we can't make the pain go away a lot of times that adults are going through. We can't make them feel better at that moment. But there is something we can do. We can just be there and want to be there for them. Most often in a crisis, you can't say something to make another person feel better. But you can be there. You could say, I'm sorry. Or you could say, I'm here for you. Or you could say, how tragic. I care about you. A person needs to know we will be there. That they can cry in front of us. And that we would comfort them. That we would be for them in whatever they're going through. In a time of death, this is the hardest thing that as a pastor, often going into a home or funeral home or some other time, in a time of death. We can't take the pain away from another person, what they're going through. It's not even our job to do that. But we can be there for them. We can be there if someone is dying often, they need to express their feelings. And we often say, oh, don't say that. Don't say you're dying. Or we'll say, you'll be just fine when they won't. A person could be thinking, I don't want to hear what you've got to say. I don't want to hear that. And so they can't express what they're feeling. They're not asking you to fix it. They're not necessarily asking you to take it away. What they are asking, that you're there with them and that they can express that feeling and be validated and that it be okay because you care. Because you being there in a time like that is what is most needed. See, when we are in need, when we're going through trouble, when we're having problems, the thing that we need most of all is to know that the other person is there with us. Not against us, but with us. Not fixing it, but with us. You need to realize that you don't have to be brilliant with your words. You don't have to fix it. You just have to be there. You don't have to have an answer. You don't have to solve the problem. In times of stress, arms do more comfort than any other part of the body. One needs to be held, not lectured to. A person wants your shoulder more than they want your mouth. There are times a person will want you to solve a problem. You know, there are times that a person will come and talk to you and they want you to solve the problem. That's about 5% of the time that they come to you with a problem. The other 95%, they just want you to show that you care, that you understand what they are saying, and you won't understand what they're saying unless you've taken time to listen. You need to validate those feelings, no matter what they are, no matter how crazy it might sound. They're not looking for answers. They're looking for compassion. They're looking for sympathy. They need your shoulder to lean on, not your mouth to provide answers. James says in the reading that we had, my mouth displays who I really am. The picture James gives of this picture of a mountain spring. In other words, he says you go to a mountain and you're thirsty and the long climb up and you're looking for something to drink and you see this mountain spring and you ask yourself the question, is it good water? Is it good water that's coming out of the spring? Is it safe to drink? Now, if you see a sign up and you know that something's wrong with the water, then you shouldn't drink it. But here's the problem with our mouths. Good water and poisonous waters can come out of the same spring, the same mouth. We've all seen this. One minute you're saying the most beautiful thing and we're feeling uplifted and encouraged. And then the next minute you say the most ugly things and the most hurtful things. Where did that come from? How did that happen? That's what gets us so frustrated. The mouth, however, James says, reveals who you really are. In other words, the Bible also says that where your treasure is, that where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. It also says, you know, that out of the heart comes things that we do and things that we say. Our mouth reveals who I really am. Here's the third and last thing that I want to share with you. Before you can communicate with words with a person, they need to know that you think they are worthy of being listened to. You see, communication problems are not caused by the differences between men and women. Oftentimes, you know, we call them Venus and Mars, people that men and women are so different, they're like creatures from different planets. And they can't communicate with each other and can't get along and that sort of thing. But communication problems aren't the things that are the differences between men and women, but it's caused by the lack of understanding of those differences or the lack of appreciation of the differences. In the beginning of a couple's relationship, there is no problem when a guy and a gal first meet and they begin to get together or to date, they don't have any problem in talking because a couple falls in love with each other because of the time that they spend talking with each other in those early relationships. In other words, they share opinions and interests and likes and dislikes and dreams, and they share their goals and their fears and their disappointments and their failures. And when they do that, neither one of them judges the other. Okay, this is what you think. This is what you feel. This is what you've done in your life. There's no judgment at that point. There's nothing to put the person down, but only an interest to find out who they are. And just finding out all they can about each other is what happens in those early relationships. And this is a wonderful process because we want to know the other person. We want to know their true self. We want to know who they are. And as they reveal themselves and begin to open up, they find this other person shows this interest in them and want to know all about them, and it's very special, and they feel accepted, and they feel loved, and they feel appreciated, and it's just a wonderful thing. But then, why does communication stop? Women seem to enjoy conversation for its own sake. That's not always true, but most of the time. It's a means in itself. Men call it idle chatter sometimes. In other words, by talking about life, women come to understand each other, and they share things, and they just talk about it, and they talk about their experiences and all different things. And as they're talking about this and sharing it, they become friends, as they learn these things about other people. Men use conversation as a means to an end. In other words, while dating, a man has no problem talking because he has a goal in mind. While dating, a man wants a woman to find him desirable, and so he wants to be charming, and he pays a great deal of attention to what she says, and he wants to discover what her needs are, and how he might fulfill them for her. Thus, he has a woman who finds him irresistible. And once he's got her, he stops talking. Because in his mind, there's less need to talk now. He's got her. And that wasn't true in the beginning, but now he has her, so there's no pressure, no reason to talk. And a woman asked often when a man comes home when he's been talking all day at work and other times, why does he stop talking? In other words, because the important part of a man's day is over, that of making a living. That has been done. There's no reason to talk. He had a reason while he was working. But a woman's day begins when conversation begins. In other words, talking is the most important part of the day, because that of getting close in a relationship, in her understanding, in her way of relating, talking is connecting. So a woman gets her sense of worth from the relationship, from the talking, from the sharing, from the intimacy, from the being together. A man gets his sense of worth from his work. A man is happy when he's productive. A woman is productive when she is happy. These are differences, not right or wrong, one better than the other, but they are differences. And if you don't understand them, and if you're not able to share them, the relationship often is strained and pulled. How can two people still communicate when they're so different? She says, "Do you love me?" And some men say, "Ah, are you crazy? I'm home, aren't I? I'm with you, aren't I?" You ever said that, man? I have. I really have. I said some stupid things sometimes. But hopefully I'm learning. I'm learning. You know, if a man thinks his gift to a woman is giving her the chance to watch him eat and sleep and sit in front of the TV, he's in for a big surprise. A typical couple spends 20 minutes a week talking together. That's statistical on the average. Do you know that's 3 minutes a day? Could your job survive if you only spent 3 minutes a day talking in your job? Could you learn a new skill if you only spent 3 minutes a day? Can a relationship be sustained with only 3 minutes a day? Every day, I believe, if you would want to improve your relationship together, you need to have a 30-minute conversation every day where you talked about what happened in your day. What are you feeling about yourself today? What are you worried about? What is going on that's bothering you or troubling you or makes you happy? If you take time out to talk together every day, hearts can be won between each other. A man must be interested in what a woman does, and women too. If not, the message is, you are not important. In other words, if I don't find an interest to know what you have to say, then I'm also communicating to you that you don't really matter, that you're not important. And if you're not interested in hearing everyday things, you will stop hearing about everything else that person considers important. Nobody cares about how much you know until they know how much you care. And if you choose to ignore the conversations with each other, you will have a person who is angry and resentful. And there's often arguments that will happen in relationships because an argument is better than the nothingness they often experience because they're not communicating with each other. It is better to feel an argument and have some connection than to feel silent and have no connection. Couples need to shut the world out in order to reconnect. You know, we have so many ways to fill our lives these days in ways that we didn't have even a couple years ago. The 300 channels of TV to be entertained by, the internet with Facebook and other ways of communicating where we don't even have to sit down and have a conversation with a person. We can just type in some text and send that kind of communication. Because of the cell phones and the internet and because of TV, a lot of times that has substituted a relationship that we have with each other. You know, what I'm saying is there are new studies coming up to try to decide how technology is a huge danger to people relationships these days. In other words, they're trying to figure out what the harm is because we've not had it around long enough to fully understand it, but it has become harmful. You know, touch expresses a connection and a communication. We find that there are people today who are very lonely. Even in a crowd, they're lonely because they do not have the connection and the kind of embrace and touch that is needed. It's called skin hunger. In other words, when people are not touching each other physically, there's a skin hunger. Because do you know that physically you need to have that touch in order to be healthy? Because you die without touch. There's many studies that have been done, and especially in hospitals and orphanages, where people, where patients and children, they heal three times faster by being touched than in those studies where people were not touched. Three times faster do they find healing, not just from the medicine and doctor care, but just directly from being touched by the staff. When hugged for 15 seconds, it releases a hormone called endorphin, which is a natural high we get when hearing really good news. You know, like, you just won $1 million. Now, if you'd hear that and it was true, that would make you feel really good, probably. But it produces this hormone. Infants thrive when touched. Have done studies where they find that children will gain weight three times faster when they're being touched and held and being embraced, and their growth is growing three times faster than children in these studies that were not touched. Adolescents engage in sex at a younger age in families where there's no touching in the family. An adolescent that they believe in these studies, what they've said is that at least when I'm having sex and I'm being touched, that is what I need more than anything from people, but nobody will do it except in this activity. And I'd rather have that than to die because I'm feeling skin starved. We connect by touching. Being touched makes a person feel special and important and that they matter. And that's what a person longs to hear. You and I long to hear in our soul and our heart that I matter, that I'm special, that I'm important. Before you can communicate with words, a person needs to know that you respect them as a person. That they have a right to express their ideas, right or wrong, whether you believe them or not, whether you understand them, and that they are worthy of being listened to. Communication happens. Before it to happen, one must feel special, accepted, loved, and appreciated. And that's what God wants you to know. That you are loved, you are special, that you are appreciated, and you are accepted. May you go from this place this morning knowing of God's love and how special you are, and have it impact your life. Would you pray with me? Loving God, as we come to you this morning to pray, I'm going to invite everyone here this morning to join me in this prayer in a special way. God, they might just say these words back to you in their heart. I hope it will be something like this. Lord, do something with my words today. Instead of me trying to control my tongue, I want to turn it over to you, and I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you to guide my words. I'm asking for your help. I'm asking for your strength. Jesus, guide my words and guide me into words of love. Guide me into building words of love. I'm asking for your help because I know you love me. And I want to love those around me. And I ask for this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brother, watching, I realize how late it is. And I come to kind of excuse myself. Well, we didn't have church last Sunday, and so I'm trying to make up for the loss. That's a poor, flimsy excuse, and that's not it. But I'll make up for it next week. I'll let you out early next week. I just pray this, that you need God in a way that need has been met this morning, that you've felt God speaking to you and to me, and that we've let him fill our hearts with that.